All right, how exciting. Please turn to Isaiah chapter 40, one of my favorite passages of scripture anywhere in the Bible, and it's going to lead us into one of the most exciting occurrences that can happen, and that is revival. I am excited to tell you it's 4 weeks from last night, really, that it begins, even though it's been over 4 years since we have had revival scheduled here. What we need is not a revival scheduled. We need to have revival. That's what we need. Now, we've had several years of focusing on missions conferences, and we'll always still do that, but we have traded missions conference this year for a much needed revival. And here, beginning today, 4 weeks ahead, we need to build a highway in how to get there. Isaiah 40, look with me at our text beginning in verse 3, some wonderful verses, just three short verses here. Verse 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. Who's that a reference to, by the way? Who? John the Baptist. John the Baptist. Is that right? John the Baptist is the one. And yet there's an and he was the forerunner, remember, who paved the way for the Messiah. He built a highway for something great to come, and still today in New Testament days, we can build a highway for something great and for God to come. Let's look at it again, verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare or build ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight. No more lawyers in that day. And the rough places plain, verse 5. And what will happen? Something great will travel from where he is to where we are along that highway, verse 5. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it. That's what we need, folks, is a revival, a real revival. Make straight in the desert a highway. Well, the work of John the Baptist is what is foretold here, preparing, paving the way. However, that's what we're looking for in revival, and I believe that in principle, these things apply to us so much today. Now, let me say, by way of introduction this morning, that some Christians would reject revival if it were to come, real revival. Some Christians would reject it. Many of us, when we pray for revival, do not really know what we're praying for, have not really seen real revival, and don't realize what real revival is. And I say this morning that if real revival were to really come to us, that is New Testament, first century kind of revival like we see in the book of Acts, some of our present membership perhaps might leave and go elsewhere. And yet, revival is exactly what we're going to pray for, and it's exactly what we are going to seek. Because, and I say all that because of this, real revival will really change a church in a mighty way, and of course, some like it just the way that it is. I'm just totally happy the way that it is. Don't try to stir things up. Don't try to shake things up, and don't try to change. Oh my, no. Write it down on the back of your bulletin, if you would please, this morning. We've been subnormal for so long that if ever we experienced what is truly normal, we would think that it's abnormal. We've been subnormal for so long that if we ever really experienced revival, what is truly supposed to be the norm, we would think that it's abnormal, that it's wrong. All right. Built on that foundation, now let's build a highway. The word highway means raised up. Raised up. And a revival is going to raise us up. It is a higher elevation of living. To be spiritually raised up. To be on the highway. To live above the status quo. In these three verses that we've just looked at, the Lord is speaking through Isaiah and is giving instructions on how to pave the way to revival. How to pave the way for great things to happen. And I hope that each one of us, each of you listening right now, are you listening this morning, would you say amen? I hope that each one of us this morning would agree together that we need revival. Here's my hand. I need it. I need revival. And I want it. Do you want revival?
Yes.
We have to pave the way. God is telling us how to get to the place, or from the place of need to the place of revival. And according to verse 3, we are in a desert place. We are all in the desert place. That's where we are. We're in the desert place. Where is God? Where is revival? Revival's over here. Revival is where the glory of God is. And the goal is for us to get those two together, and we must build a highway. I believe that God is willing to come to us, as a matter of fact, to some extent. Now, we've got to be willing to move also. But according to this passage, I believe that God is willing to come over to where we are and bring revival to our souls if we will make a straight highway in our desert. Now, I grew up in New Mexico, and New Mexico highways look a lot like what's pictured here. There's a destination off in the distance on a desert highway. And you say, oh, that's where we're going, but it comes slowly. Like a mirage, it's so far off in the distance. You can see a long way out in the west, can't you? I remember when we were headed back on our trip west this summer, as we were headed through New Mexico, we were headed toward my hometown, and I was excited to show my family everything, you know, and actually put a sign up, birthplace of Jerry Shirley, you know, photo op. And my wife and kids were like, yay, we're going to see where Dad grew up. And out there on the long desert highways, I said, there's our mountain. There's Mount Taylor, the second largest volcanic mountain in North America. It used to be after Mount St. Helens. And then in 1980, my mountain, while I was there, became the largest, as Mount St. Helens became much smaller, the largest volcanic mountain in North America. And I said, there it is. And so they were excited. We're here. Uh-uh. It was an hour and a half before we got there. It was a long way through the desert, like a mirage in the distance. And why is that mountain not getting any bigger? Why is it taking so long to get there? Well, revival we're in a desert place, and it seems like it may never get there. But it doesn't have to be that far if we'll build the highway. Now, we're talking about point A and point B here. Point A, point B. Both of these two points are the requirements for revival. Point A is in verse 3. Look at it again. Point A is verse 3. Prepare ye the way the Lord, make straight in the desert, that's point A, a highway for our God. Point B is in verse 5. Look at verse 5 again. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Let me ask you, how do we get from verse 3 to verse 5? You got to go through verse 4. He's a genius. Thank you, brother. Verse 4 is how we get there. He's talking about how to build the highway now so God can come and visit us. And admittedly, I'm spiritualizing this text a little bit, and I think it'll be good. This is saying that we won't have revival 4 weeks from now just because we've scheduled one. Revival is not an event that you can place on the calendar. It is a reality that we want to see come to fruition. We won't have a revival just because we've scheduled one. There must be preparation. We must build and pave the way, prepare the way. There must be preparation first. All right? Now, I want to challenge you to focus in this message this morning on what can I do? Talking about yourself. What can you do to help prepare the way, to help build the highway to real revival? And by the way, if we do this, I believe we'll have real revival before it comes on the calendar. We won't have to wait 4 weeks if we'll really, each and every one of us, truly do this. So listen carefully, please. I want to challenge you to do all you can to see real revival happen. What is revival, first of all? It's a time of refreshing, renewing, restoring, a time of rejoicing. Revival is God having His way in your life and in my life. Write this down, please, and I'll go slowly. Revival is the return of the people of God to the Word of God. Revival is the return of the people of God to the Word of God in the house of God. How do we do this? By the power of God, only according to the plan of God, which must be under the direction of God, and thus receiving the blessings of God. Revival is something that God will pour out of the windows of heaven upon us, and there is a great blessing that comes with it. Let me say that again now, not so slowly, if you've got that down. Revival is the return of us, the people of God, to the Word of God, in the house of God, by the power of God, according to the plan of God, under the direction of God, and thus receiving the blessings of God. Don't you want it, folks? Oh, I can taste it. We're right on the verge, and I want it. It is possible, however, that many people here will receive revival. It's possible that everyone here will receive revival except for you. If you don't personally pave the way, it's not something that will just happen to Grace Baptist Church. It's something that will happen to people of Grace Baptist who pave the way. Now, are you following me this morning? Would you say amen?
Amen.
In verse 4, we see what is necessary for building this highway. Good grief, Brother Jerry, would you just get to it? Okay, this is the formula for revival. Look again at verse 4. It says, every valley shall be exalted. Stop right there. This is the filling process. When you fill in a valley, when you exalt or lift up a valley, you've filled it somehow. This is what we call the filling process. Of course, a valley is a low spot, a crevice, a gutter, a low place. Now look this way, please. This is the troubled areas in your life. This is the pain that you experience in your life. This is the empty places. This is where you are lacking. The places that seem to be bogged down. Revival will fill these places up. And when this happens, we'll see more than just our hearts filled up. We'll see our Sunday school classes filled up and this room filled up. And we'll see heaven one by one filled up with souls saved and lives changed. There will be no more emptiness. There will be no empty altars. There will be no empty hearts. This is the filling process where every valley is filled in and is exalted. And once that valley is filled, that low place, that troubled spot is touched and made right by God, and then you experience the glory of the Lord, and that's revival in part. So let me ask you this morning, first of all, what's your valley? What is your pain? What is the cross that you are bearing right now? Is it some area of failure in your life? Is it some hardship that you are experiencing right now? What's your pain? What's your stress? Is it financial right now? Is it marital? Is it something about your past? Is it something about your present? Your future? Well, you fill in the blanks there, but let me say, no matter what it is, revival can make it right. Now, it can't make it all go away, but it can make it right. There's a difference. Think about a tooth that has been hollowed out by rottenness. Sometimes we need a filling in our valleys. This is the filling process. Every crevice, every valley exalted, filled in, lifted up, and watch it happen on the screen. You know how food sticks in a tooth cavity. The muck of this world washes down into the valleys of our soul, and we need God to purify and then to fill in some low places. Anytime you get rid of something, you've got to replace it with something better. Fill it in. Fill it in. Lord, make me clean. The muck of this world does wash down into our valleys. We need God to clean it and to fill it and to revive us. Now, if we would just enter the revival meeting with every valley in every member's life already filled in, then the ground would be level. The foundation would be poured and even, and we're well on our way to building a highway to revival. Real revival could come anytime. Now, as I said, I am hungry for revival, and I trust that you are as well. But I know that it may cost me something. It may cost me a great deal. Real revival may cost you something. Something you consider to be precious. But I'm praying for you, and would you pray for me? Let us be willing, Lord, to let go of whatever you tell us to for the sake of revival, and then replace it with something better, the filling process. Every valley exalted, filled in, made right. Number two, back to verse 4. After it says, every valley shall be exalted, it says, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. Ah, there's a hill. There's a mountain for you. Does that look like something in your future right now? You're saying, that illustrates my life, what I'm looking at. Oh, every mountain should be made low. It's hard to cross over those mountains. If every valley being exalted was the filling process, then every mountain made low is the leveling process. This is the leveling process. First the filling process, now the leveling process. What is a mountain that's in your way? I tell you, also on our trip, we were headed out west, going through Wyoming. I thought it'd be easy to get into Yellowstone, and then, boom, we ran into Bighorn Mountain. I didn't know it was there. Steve Barnes told me about how to get there, didn't mention Bighorn Mountain to me, no. And it was hard to climb, and it was hard to make it there, and we almost didn't make it there. It was like a roadblock, if you will. And there are revival roadblocks. There are things that Satan has set in the way to keep us from getting there, and there are mountains that must be made low. These are things that stand in the way of revival coming. What's yours? What is your revival roadblock? Is it disbelief? Hebrews 3:19 says, we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. In your New Testament, it's said of a place that Jesus could not do many mighty works there. Why? Because of their unbelief. It was a roadblock to revival in that place. So he dusted off his shoes and he went to a place that was really wanting something, really wanting revival. What is your revival roadblock? Is it laziness that keeps you from really making the commitments to God that you need to? Is it some habit that you're holding on to and you say, I feel guilty when I go to church because I have this in my life? Well, the solution is not stop going to church. The solution is demolish that roadblock that's in the way. What is your revival roadblock? Is it pride? Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Is it indifference? I don't care. I'm looking out for me. I've got too much about me to focus on than to take on some added stress about helping the church have revival. Well, you're not going to have it if you don't want it. What is your revival roadblock? Indifference? Self-will? Wrong priorities? That's a big one for a lot of people. Has your spirituality grown stale? Are you unmotivated? Are you selfish? What's your revival roadblock? Money? Greed? What's your revival roadblock? Now, some of these are low points. Valleys, deserts. A low point can be an obstacle too. Some places need filling. Some places need drilling. Some places need leveling. Remember, the Israelites took 40 years to make an 11-day journey. From where they were to where God told them to be is 11 days normally. They spent 40 years getting there. That's a mountain. There was an obstacle in their path. So what is your revival roadblock? Is it a problem with lust? Bitterness? Is it the worldly friends that keep dragging you back down that you haven't separated yourself from? Is it some addiction? Maybe addiction to television or video games? Is it an evil thought life that if your thoughts were displayed on a screen for everyone, you would be terribly ashamed? What is it? What is your revival roadblock? A wounded spirit? Can't get over the past? Doubtful about something yet future? Worried about something? What's your roadblock to revival? Is it, I just can't get over this hurdle of obedience to the tithe? I can't do it. It's a roadblock. Angry with God over something? Resisting the Lord in some area? Is it a bad attitude where you just find yourself looking for problems? Is it a victim's mentality where you just always treated unfairly in your mind's eye? What's your revival roadblock? Could it be prayerlessness? Could it be that you don't spend any time in God's Word if it's not me spoon-feeding it to you? Could it be rage? A midlife crisis? Debt? Hypocrisy? Disobedience to parents or other authority? Is it marital problems? Is there dysfunction going on in your home in some way? Is it poor communication? Is it job stress? Is it low self-esteem? Is it the opposite of low self-esteem? Ego? Pride? Is it just busyness? Too many irons in the fire and needing to make God the priority? Did I name all the possible sins in the world? If not, the Lord can put His finger on the spot with me and with you. There is something that is an obstacle to revival, and every one of us, it's so important. Every one of us has at least one, and most of us may have several or many. We need to do business with God. We need to take those mountains. After the filling process, there's the drilling process. We need to level them. Every mountain made low. Remove that revival roadblock. Everyone has a mountain. And when revival comes, these mountains will be made low. A few years ago, we went back to Missouri to where we moved here from. And we went out toward our house. We lived out PP Highway, didn't we? That was always funny. Lived on PP Highway. And we went back after being here for a few years. And the road leading to our home, PP Highway, which used to have a big hill in it that we always had to climb, go up one side and down the other, it was gone. It was leveled. They had done a lot of blasting, a lot of digging, and that mountain had been made low. And I noticed something else there, Kimberly. Miss Kimberly? Do I have to call you Miss Kimberly? Okay. I noticed something else. As they cut that hill down to a level position, they took all that dirt that they cut out and they put it in a nearby valley near that hill. So what used to be a deep valley beside a steep hill was now all level ground. And what a beautiful illustration of what we're talking about and what God's talking about in Isaiah 40 and verse 4. That is what revival will do in your life. Those mountains will be made low, and in the process, it helps fill in those valleys. Then notice this. Verse 4 says, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low. And then it says, and the crooked shall be made straight. The crooked made straight. This is the straightening process. Now, revival must contain all of these that we've gone over. The filling process, the leveling process, and a straightening process. Now look this way, please. As I studied for this message, when I read the word crooked, I looked real closely and I tried to find some of your names there. But I couldn't. I said, surely the Lord would take this opportunity to name some crooked people, but I couldn't find any names there. So I guess the Lord is talking about things rather than people. There's crooked things that need to be made straight. So, I'm not talking to any crooked people here today. but crooked things. What is the crooked that's talked about here? Well, as you look at this screen here, you see this meandering crooked road. Backtracking roads will drive you crazy. I couldn't find a picture, but pulling a trailer this summer, really hard when you go up mountain passes that have all the cutbacks. You know what I'm talking about? Switchbacks. We nearly died a couple of times on a pass, a couple of passes like that. And those things can drive you crazy. I know the Smoky Mountain Expressway through western North Carolina is like that too. It's beautiful if you could possibly see it, but you can't because you got to focus so hard on the road. You got to stop if you really want to see it. Now listen, again, I'm spiritualizing here. But the straightening process is kind of a correcting that has to go on and on and on. It's not a one-time action. It's you've got to get on course, you've got to pave the road, you've got to get it level, fill in those valleys, knock down those mountains, okay? And then you've got to stay on course when everything in this world tries to blow you off course. The winds take our trailer, our camper, and just try to blow us off course. There's got to be a constant correcting, a constant straightening to get there. Now, some of you, during the revival, will have some emergencies come up. You may have a plumbing problem. Let me just say, come on to revival anyway. All right? We'll fix it the next day. We'll come help you if that's what it takes. Your car may break down somewhere during revival. The devil's going to try to keep you from coming out every night. Somebody's going to have a ball game scheduled, I guarantee you, but some things are going to need straightened out right now in advance. We're building this highway, and it's going to this destination, and ain't nothing going to get us off track. No trappings of this world. Nothing that comes up. Some things are going to require some straightening out. There will be some crooked things develop. Don't let these stop you. Why? Because revival and the glory of God is more important than money. Revival and the glory of God is more important than our schedules or our hobbies or our plans. Revival and the glory of God is even bigger than our health. That's why I'm here right now, because I sure don't feel like being here. Revival and the glory of God is more important than friends or games or anything else. There is nothing more important in my mind to Grace Baptist Church than having true revival. That's what we need. The time is now. I believe we're ready. Now, if you come home and water is running down your driveway from your garage, when you go in, you find that that hot water tank is leaking, just turn the water off at the source and come on to revival, and I believe that God will help make it all work out for you, for putting Him first. Isn't it true you can't outgive God, and that is true in any area of life? Okay, so there's the straightening process. I'm glad we've got that straight. Number four, verse four again, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Talking about how to build this highway to revival, we need the rough places to be made smooth and plain. This is the smoothing process. We're talking about taking the bumps out of your spiritual life. Praise the Lord, there is blessing that comes with revival. Revival will smooth out your marriage. When a couple is having marital problems, if you can get them to the center, if you can get them to center their life around the Lord Jesus Christ, and each of them draw closer to Him, they'll be drawn closer to one another as they're drawn to Him. Like three points on a triangle. Here's you, here's your spouse, here's the Lord. Let's just focus on drawing closer to Him. And look what naturally happened. We're together forever. Revival will smooth out your finances. When you get your heart right with God, your wallet will also get right. It's Jesus Himself who said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." In other words, don't try to come to church and act spiritual if you say, "Well, I pass on that. I don't participate in that tithing part." Then you're not here according to Jesus Christ. You might as well save your time according to Him. Now, we want you to come. We want you to come either way. But I'm also here to report what God says. And he says, where your treasure is where your heart is. Shouldn't you be where your heart is? Aren't there some entertaining things that we could be at and spending our money on right now rather than on God? Revival will smooth out your bad temper. Some say, I can't control my temper. That's a good first step to realizing that. But also remember the second step. Though you can't control it, God can. And revival will go a long way in controlling that. Revival will smooth out our tongues, whether our problem is gossip or complaining or swearing or whatever. If we could just get our tongues cleaned up, we would go a long way in having revival. Talk about a highway. You want to talk about a highway? Some Baptists have tongues with four lanes going in both directions. Part of revival means that we make these rough places plain. We smooth out some of these areas in our life. Revival will smooth out our disposition. If you get real revival, even your pets will probably not recognize you when you go home. They'll think you're a stranger. What all of us need is a spiritual bulldozer to build a revival road for the glory of God. I believe if we build it, he will come. If we will build a highway, he will bring revival. And then he will reveal his glory. And guess what? If we don't build it, I say that's highway robbery. We must do this. The time is now. What is the glory of the Lord? Verse 5 talks about, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Skip down to verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Skip down to verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? Everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Look at verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That word renew, revive. Revive. We need to take these steps and build the highway, and then verse 31 says, wait. Wait for it. Wait for it. Verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There it is, folks. God wants to come here. I'm honored. We should be thrilled. God wants to come here. He's led us to this passage today. He's led us to schedule this revival. God wants to come here. He wants to come here hauling truckloads of blessings with him. And the question is, will you help build the road? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, maybe there's some valleys that need filled in your life. Let's take steps toward filling those in right now, today. Maybe there's some mountains, some revival roadblocks that need to be made low. Let's take care of those today. Let's not wait for Steve Proctor to get here. Amen. Let's build the highway to revival right now. Let's go ahead and in advance look at our calendar and get some things straightened out. Okay, here it is. September 26th, Saturday night. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. September 30th, Wednesday night. Let's straighten this out. Let's map it out. Let's mark it off. Let's do our part. At this altar today, there needs to be a smoothing process too. Some rough places made plain. What is your pain? What is the valley that God wants to fill in for you? What is the roadblock that he needs to knock down? What are those rough places, those crooked places that need made smooth and straight? Well, we named a lot of possibilities today, but right now, ask the Holy Spirit of God to tell you. Would you do that? Doesn't have to be out loud. But right there where you sit, would you say, God, would you put your finger on the spot and show me how I may be holding up revival coming to me and to my family and to my church? Would you ask him that right now? Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. If you're asking him that now, would you indicate it by raising your hand? And keep asking him. You may put your hands down. Let's give the Holy Spirit of God some time to work right now. Maybe we should do this more often. The Holy Spirit of God can speak a lot better than I can. I think every hand in the house went up. Jew asked him. And he loves to be asked that question. And he answers that question. That's been my lifelong experience. And let's prove it. Raise your hand if he's answered that question in your heart. What you can do differently. What you can do to bring revival here. Can I see your hands all across the room? God loves to hear that question. He loves to answer it. Yes, you may put those hands down. Church, right now I come to you as your pastor. And I say I want it. And you can probably tell that I want it. But I want to know, do you want it? I don't want to get too excited if it's not going to happen. And if you don't want it, it's probably not going to happen. It's time that we really do business with God. And I'm coming to you right now as your pastor saying, not like I usually do, will you come to this altar and pray for revival? Though you are welcome to and invited to, and I think the Holy Spirit of God probably wants us to do that, but not to the exclusion of paving this road. That's the real thing. It's not asking him to come. The real thing we need to do is make it possible for him to come. Build the road. More important than coming to this altar and praying some prayer, giving some token appearance of leaving our seat. More important than that, I believe, is us obeying Isaiah 40 and allowing God to fill those low places, and asking God to remove the revival roadblocks, taking those mountains that stand in the way and make them low, asking God to give us the strength, the courage, and the boldness to straighten things out in our lives and to smooth out the rough places. I want to know if you want it. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. If you say, Pastor, I'm with you, this makes me want it. I want it. And you can count on me. Would you raise your hands now? Amen. Amen. I believe we can have it if we want it. I believe that our God is not hiding it from us. He's not playing keep away with blessings. He's not hiding his will from us. He's not hiding revival from us. It's not far off. It's not just a mirage. It's real. And he wants us to take some personal steps to see true revival. And now, if you're like me and you want to see the revival start before the revival starts, then we need to do business with God in these areas we've talked about. We need to make some changes. And certainly the Bible supports the fact that we need to pray for revival. And if you would join me at this altar to pray for it, that would be wonderful. As a matter of fact, before the music plays or we even stand, if you want to go ahead, I'm going to make a plea to the lost, but if you want to go ahead and come and be praying, you may come right now. But if you're still in your seat, question for you, are you 100% sure that you've been saved? If you've never been saved, the best revival that could ever happen to any of us is just around the corner for you. It's waiting to happen right here at this altar. If you're here today and you're not sure if you're saved, before I kneel at this altar and pray, I'm going to watch for you. When the music plays, I want you to stand to your feet and I want you to come meet me here at the front. And we'll send you out privately with someone who'll take a Bible and help you get saved today. If you need to be saved, then you come. Let's all stand quietly and reverently. The invitation is open. If you need to be saved, you meet me right now before I go to prayer. Would you come? That's the real revival that will happen. And God's brought you to this place and to this moment right now because He wants to change your life. Come let me know if you need to be saved. And now, Christians, you raised your hand that you wanted. Will you come join me in praying for it? Many have already littered this altar. Would you come help fill it? And as you do, say, God, what's my valley? What's my roadblock? What do you want me to do differently? Revive us again, O Lord. I'm going to give one more opportunity. If you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, would you come meet me here at the front right now? No one's looking on, but God's watching to see if you will take the opportunity. He's thrown you a rope. Will you grab on right now and come? He loves you. He wants to save you. Would you come right now? Let's have one more verse. Let's have another verse and you can be seated. Rest a moment. Thank you, ma'am. You may look this way. We pastors have put together an outreach program that we are launching today and this Tuesday night. And some of you have already, in Sunday school, taken some assignments upon yourself. If not, come out Tuesday night at 7 o'clock right here. What we're doing is going out and giving a gift and welcoming some new residents to our community. Every month, around 100 people move into Decatur for some reason, and we're going to go out and welcome them. We've made a little five-minute DVD that gives them a tour of the church and lets them visit the church right there from in their home, and a pamphlet that tells them some things if they'd rather read about it, directs them to the website for lots more details, and sort of like a welcome wagon, we want to go out and welcome some of these people and have a gift to take to them. Each of them have already, this week, by yesterday, received a letter from the church and stating, you know, that we welcome them and that we'd like to come by and say hi to them, so they may not be surprised that you come by. And quickly on the doorstep, doesn't take much to welcome them to the area, to invite them to the church, and to give them good reason to come to the church, show them why that they ought to be at this particular church if they're going to look for one anyway. And so this is something that you can do in your own neighborhood. We have it mapped out by different divisions of town. If you want to come to Brother Mike and say, give me something that's convenient to me, or even if you're willing to go a little ways, most of them are in Decatur, right? Many right around here, other parts of the city. You can come to him and he'll give it to you, or you can come out and go with an experienced soul winner. We'll pair you, if you're not comfortable leading a team, with one of us or with someone else who has experience at this to do the talking. And at least two of us in a group can go together and just welcome two or three new residents to the area. That's at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night. But he has some on him right now. If you say, hey, who can we go welcome this afternoon or this week on our own time, if you can't make Tuesday night, do see Brother Mike. As a matter of fact, Brother, why don't you go ahead and make your way to the back door? And my wife and I love you, but we're not shaking hands today due to having a cold, because we love you. And so, hi, thanks for coming. Please come out tonight. Brother Jerry, why don't you go back there too? Miss Tina, Miss Nikki around. Head back there, and you can show them, they can show you their appreciation as well. What else was I supposed to say? Oh yeah, do we have a picture to show the folks? Revival, 4 weeks away. That's Brother Steve Proctor right there. He's the one from The Price is Right, remember? He's going to tell us all about that when he's here. And then I think his evil twin, Cletus, is the next slide, who popped in last time, and we're afraid that he may show up this time as well. If you weren't here 4.5 years ago, you've got to see the videos that are playing. Each week we'll be playing a video, like there's one playing out there in the lobby right now of Cletus. And you can go out there and take a seat and watch about a five-minute hilarious video. You'll hear Brother Gary laughing a lot on this video. He was running the camera on this video, so you got to see it. Anyway, it's all good. Let's stand to our feet.